Song number 484 in the church hymnal. Song number 228.
Sorry. Good evening, everyone. In the city of Rome, about 22 years ago, there was a man by the name of Garouge. He was from Morocco, and he broke the world record for the world's fastest mile. He ran it in 3 minutes and 43 seconds, and it's not been broken since. Now, some of our youth up here on the front benches can run pretty fast, and some of you back a little farther can run pretty fast, too. At school, I had some of my students run a measured 400-meter race. That's the equivalent of a quarter mile, about. I had them run that this year, some of them. And only one of them was able to run that quarter mile in just under 1 minute 10 seconds. But Garouge was faster than that. If you'd break his world record mile down into quarters, his quarter mile speed was 56 seconds. In fact, if my students ran the quarter mile in relays for a total of 10 miles, they would still not be able to beat the world record 10 mile. In fact, they would come across the finish line 42 seconds too late. Tonight, I want to spend some time thinking about running and drawing some parallels to our spiritual life. And I want to look at Hebrews 12, starting at verse 1. You can turn there if you wish. Joseph read a few of these verses this morning, but I don't think it'll hurt to go over them again. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And then verses 5 through 8 go on to talk about the chastisement or the chastening of the Lord and how that chastisement comes upon those he considers his children and that it's a good thing. I'm going to go drop down to verse 9 and pick up reading there again. For they verily for a few days chastened us, and it's talking there about fathers, chastened us after their own pleasure, not meaning that they kind of got a kick out of it, but meaning that they did the best that they knew how. But he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now, as many of you know, running has been of some interest to me for the last year and a half or so. And so tonight I want to look at 6 parallels that we find in this passage with running and our spiritual life. And there's actually more parallels that we could discover here. In fact, I thought if I searched hard enough, maybe I could come up with 12 rules for runners so I could sound a little bit like Jordan Peterson, but didn't make it there. So first parallel is lay aside every weight. Runners quickly suffer when they have added weight. Even a water bottle can get kind of cumbersome after a few miles. If you've ever run after eating a large meal, it doesn't go so well. In fact, if you try running after a couple of weeks of your loving church family bringing in amazing meals, it doesn't go so great either. A lot of people think of running as a great way of losing weight, and it can help, but it's actually more difficult than you think to lose a lot of weight by running. It's estimated that it takes about 3,500 calories burned to lose a pound of, hopefully, fat. And on the several occasions that I've run a 6-miler, my phone, which I believe is somewhat accurate, tells me that I've burned about 700 calories. And so it'd mean I would need to run 30 miles to burn off a pound of weight. Now, I might lose more than that in the run because of losing moisture through sweat, but it would take some work. A better way to lose weight is actually by watching the calories that we eat. It's a lot easier to physically avoid the 350-calorie hamburger than it is to go out and run the three-mile equivalent of that. Spiritually, the race is the same. Added weight bogs us down, and I think perhaps this is one of the most difficult parts of our lives as Christians today, is we live in a world of luxury and ease, and it's unparalleled to any other time in history. In most of the world, we live with such prosperity. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, are we weighing ourselves down with extra weight, with our lifestyle, our music, our books, our jobs, our hobbies? We need to lay aside the weight. Parallel number two, run with endurance. The King James Version uses the word patience. I believe endurance is a better word for us today. Runners are interested, obviously, about building their endurance. It allows them to run farther and hopefully faster. And when I started running, I didn't have much endurance. I was what you could call a couch potato. I started a popular running program called Couch to 5K, and it basically had you start by walking, and then you jog for a minute, and then walk for a couple of minutes, and then jog for a minute. And eventually, over the period of about 9 weeks, you were hopefully running for about 30 minutes at a stretch without stopping. But here's the deal with running. It isn't easy. A 5K, which is about 3 miles, a little over 3 miles, is still kind of painful. Maybe I run it a little bit faster, but it's still painful. And especially after a month of not being as consistent as I should have been, it can really quickly get a lot more painful. So there's been many times that I've been kind of tempted to quit when I don't see the progress that I would like to see, and I just want to stay at home for the evening. Spiritually, the race is the same. Life isn't easy. And as we grow and mature, hopefully, we kind of expect that life would hopefully get a little easier, but so far it's not been really the case that I've discovered. We tend to fall into a lot of the same pitfalls throughout life, and we don't make the progress always that we wish we would. We take on a lot more responsibility, so that adds to the pressures of life. And if we're honest, sometimes we just want to go home and stay on the couch. But spiritually, we need to run with endurance. The third parallel is we need other people. Runners need encouragement from other runners. My dad used to run when he was about my age, and he was in better shape when he was 33 than I am now. So I have about a year to try to catch up with some of the things that he was doing. You know Doug Downs in town. He, on a regular basis, will run a 10-miler, and his 10-mile pace is usually quite a bit faster than my 3-mile pace. And so that is actually encouraging to see an older man like that running that kind of pace. I'm encouraged by a number of you all who have taken exercise seriously. Joseph, you're one of them, and some of you young people up here. And I'm encouraged by these people when I see them turning out night after night or week after week, and sometimes out late at night, making sure they catch up on their exercise. Spiritually, we have a cloud of witnesses around us, the Bible says, and here in Hebrews. And best of all, we have Jesus to look to. And Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, it says. He endured the shame of the cross, but he finished strong. And we have his example of living life in the midst of hard times. So we need others. Parallel number four, running is painful. Sometimes we injure ourselves when we run. I've sprained my ankle a couple of times. I had runner's knee for a little stretch. But even apart from possible injuries, there is always some sort of pain that's involved with any sort of exercise that we undertake. There's a popular little saying, no pain, no gain. And spiritually, the race is the same. The Bible talks about taking up our cross daily, and it's pretty clear that Christians will face suffering. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, there's a verse that says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Here in Hebrews, some of the verses that we kind of skipped over that talk about God chastening his children, and that this chastening is a sign that we are his children, it points out that this chastening is a good thing for us, for our lives. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Another note is that a professional runner will often run under the guidance of some sort of coach. And a good coach is going to push that runner. He's not going to say, okay, this week, let's just take it easy. Go grab a Coke and a bag of chips and have a lot of fun. No, he's going to say, get out there, be consistent, and do a good job. And God is the same way. It's painful at the time, but it isn't a punishment. It's necessary for our growth. And somehow when I was thinking about this, that thought was really helpful to me as I thought about the pain of exercise leading to growth and how some of the same suffering that I go through in spiritual living is actually for my growth and benefit. And it's not a punishment from God, though sometimes we can feel like it is. Our earthly fathers discipline us the best that they know how, but God disciplines us perfectly for our profit. He is the perfect running coach. Parallel number 5, there is joy in the finish. Psalms 125 verse 5 says, those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Some runners run for the joy of running. I'm not that way. Other runners run for the result, and that's me. Maybe there's a few people out there that really enjoy both, but I'm really driven by the long-term benefits, and I even can be driven by how I feel after a run. I feel really good after I run. I'm not sure if it's the endorphins that it releases or what all happens, but after exercise, people generally feel really good. Spiritually, we run for the reward that is at the end of our life. Eternal life is our reward. Jesus ran his race for the joy that was set before him, and we should too. And finally, the sixth parallel is that we need to run with good form. One of the things that runners eventually begin working on is their running form. And when we run, we do eventually get tired. And when we get tired, we start getting sloppy. And we start slowing our cadence. Cadence is how fast we move our legs back and forth. We start slowing our cadence down, maybe. We start maybe pulling our chest back and leaning back, thinking somehow that might help. And we start focusing on the pain. But proper form calls for the opposite of this. It calls to stay focused. It calls for good cadence. Good cadence for runners is actually a lot faster than what you would think. It doesn't come really naturally to run with the cadence that they suggest. It's a lot faster than you would think. With shorter strides, yes. Spiritually, it's the same. As we begin to get tired, we tend to get sloppy in our spiritual life sometimes. And we lose focus, we start to complain, we begin to slow down, we begin to slouch, and we start focusing on the pain, right? Verse 12 of Hebrews here calls us to refocus. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So we need to run with good form. So to summarize our six parallels here this evening, number one, lay aside the things that weigh us down and limit our effectiveness. Just exercising more spiritual disciplines doesn't actually remove much weight, at least not effectively. Instead, we might need to go on a diet. Number two, train for endurance. Practice spiritual disciplines consistently, recognizing that progress may not always be measurable. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Number three, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, our great running coach, who endured to the end and who ran with perfect form. Number four, recognize the spiritual race is painful. Suffering is to be expected. God's training in our lives may be painful sometimes, but pain is part of that spiritual growth. Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Number five, there is joy at the end. Not only do we have an eternal reward promised to us if we are faithful, but we can also enjoy the peace that God promises to us today. And finally, run with good form. When we are tempted to slouch, complain, or grow lazy, that's a sign that the race is getting long. And actually, in running, this is the part of the race that is actually helping us the most, is when we're past the point where we're comfortable. So take heart, refocus, reinvest, and remember that there is a reward.
Thank you, Nathan, for that. Really appreciate that. Hopefully we can take that with us this next week, put it to practice. All right, so the children's time to sing now, and Juanita will be leading them in singing. So the children come stand in front on the up front here, and Juanita will lead them in singing.
All right, thank you, Juanita and children, for that. Enjoyed that. Let's turn now in your church hymnals to song number 493. And I'll take a selection after this song. Song number 493, Onward Christian Soldiers.
Onward, Christian soldiers marching out to war with the cross of Jesus going on before.
All right, selection. I'm sorry?
505.
And after this song, Leandra has a group that will be sharing with us. Song number 505, Christ's Everlasting Gospel.
All right, thank you, Leandra, for getting that together. Let's turn to song number 483 in the Christian hymnals. Song number 483. I'll take one selection after this.
Clouds unfold, their wings outstretched.
Any selections?
439.
439. And after this song, Andy's group can come forward.
This evening. The first one is entitled, God Will Take Care of You. I had to think of all the ones in our midst, especially that are facing some surgeries or sickness or whatever it is, just seems like there's a number. And this song is for you. And also, if you're facing something and maybe you're not telling anyone, this song's for you also. God doesn't always do with us what we hope he will, but the key is committing ourselves to him to do what he wants and to be in his will. Second song then is Jesus is Coming Soon, a song about a Jesus return that we feel is soon, imminent.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humbling your hearts to God, saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Jesus is coming soon. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the sky, going where no those will soon be your happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care, rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye, homeward we then will fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon, many will there do. Trumpets will surely sound, all of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon, many will there do. Trumpets will surely sound, all of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the skies, going where no one dies, heavenward bound.
All right, let's turn to song number 454. In your church hymnals. And I'll ask the chorus to come up on the last verse of this song, and they'll share several songs with us. Song number 454.
In the Rifted Rock.
Now in Jesus I am found. Chariots of fire.